back and they score! And Giroux's got it! He's a push it by Antti Niemi!
It's time for the 5-Minute Major Podcast.
What is the significance of that name?
Tiger score!
Now here's your hosts, Matt Mastrogiovanni and Dave Morris.
That's what the people came to see.
A 5-Minute Major Podcast. What took you so long to finally seal the deal, my man? Let's go.
Hey guys, how's it going? Welcome to another episode of 5-Minute Major. Dave here, as always, with my broadcast partner in crime, Matt Mastrogiovanni. Matt, how's it going this evening?
It's only Tuesday and it feels like a very long week already. I don't know why. I think it's just because there's a lot going on this week, but I'm just physically tired already from this week. So, you know, and it's already been a grind so far, but hey, that's life for you, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, Labor Day is slowly approaching already, which is crazy to say, cause I feel like summer just started. But maybe it could be leading up to the fact that we do have a long weekend next weekend is perhaps into why this week is going by so slow.
Yeah, that's true. As I yawn in the middle of us recording, but no, I mean, it's going to be, I feel like this is kind of like the slowest part of the summer.
Yeah.
I mean, there's not a lot going on. I mean, it's exciting. Like we have, I think next week is the first week of college football.
Next weekend, yes.
Next weekend's week zero. The Eagles have already played 2 preseason games. The Phillies are in the midst of, you know, keeping their wild card hopes alive. Flyers, you know, we got some Flyers stuff to talk about as we are a Flyers podcast. But I'm sure we'll go off the rails for a few times tonight, as we usually do during the summer. But yeah, I mean, things are kind of, I guess, getting closer to that calm before the storm sort of feeling. And then, you know, next thing you know, it'll be hockey season again, football regular season, college football, you know, baseball, hopefully playoffs for the Phillies. Knock on wood there. But, you know, we'll see. But for now, Dave, we got a couple things to go over tonight, Flyers-wise. And then, sadly, we did have a towering figure in the hockey broadcast world pass away over the weekend. We will pay our respects to him by just, you know, reflecting on some of his famous calls that we liked and stuff like that. So stick around for that as we, you know, we pay tribute to him.
Yes. So with that, we'll just get right into it. I'm not sure if we addressed this at all on our last podcast, but I know in between our last episode and now, the IIHF was investigating whether Ivan Fedotov, the Flyers' highly touted top goalie prospect, not really a prospect when he's 28 years old, but he hasn't played in the NHL yet, so therefore a prospect. The IIHF was investigating whether his contract with the Flyers was valid or if his contract with the KHL was valid, if there was any foul play involved. Mm. Well, the International Ice Hockey Federation, I was going to say association, they're a federation, ruled on August 14th that Fedotov had a valid deal with the Philadelphia Flyers in the National mm-hmm. Hockey League for the upcoming 2023-24 season, and that he would be banned effective on September 1st for 4 months from the KHL and any other IIHF sanctioned hockey events. So that led to everyone speculating, going, oh, I guess Fedotov's finally going to come over to North America. The IIHF, you know, ruled in favor of the Flyers. That's good, because the IIHF actually does have some dealings with, like, the KHL falls underneath their sanctions, whereas the NHL does not. So the fact that they ruled in favor of the NHL and then suspended Fedotov and also put sanctions, they also banned Fedotov's KHL team CSKA?
Or yeah.
Which he plays the team that Michkov doesn't play for, that they're bitter rivals for, and I always get them mixed up. But they banned his KHL team from bringing in exports from their year. So his KHL team pretty much said, pardon my language, fuck that, to all that ruling. They are protesting. they and the KHL put in a grievance claiming that Fedotov's deal in the KHL was legal and that he should be playing over in Russia. So it's a whole big thing. Who knows what's going to happen because of it. It's still up in the air whether or not what Fedotov's going to do. He is currently still participating in his KHL's team's training camp and preseason and has been playing in games for them. So who knows what's going to go on there. The NHL and the Flyers view that he has a valid contract, as does the IIHF with the Philadelphia Flyers. So we'll see where this crazy saga goes from here. But at this point, Matt, I'm kind of sick of talking about Ivan Fedotov. He's a great talent who was supposed to already be over in North America. Russia dicked him over, essentially kidnapped him. And now the KHL is trying to keep him hostage, essentially. At this point, I'm tired of talking about him, and I don't think he's ever going to play a game in the National Hockey League for the Philadelphia Flyers ever, period, or even come over to North America at all. So I think it's about time, I think, myself included, and every other single Philadelphia Flyers fan, give up on the idea of Ivan Fedotov. It was nice while it lasted, but clearly it's just not going to pan out.
Would you say that you're fed up with him?
I'm fed up of Fedotov? Yes. Yeah.
Print the headline.
I'm more excited about Kostelov, the younger Russian goalie prospect that we actually have inked to an ELC, and he'll be over next year in North America. I'm more excited about him than I am Fedotov.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, the Ov that I'm most excited about at this point is Michkov.
I would agree with that as well.
You know, obviously, we've been pretty excited about even the preseason highlights have been highlights for him in the KHL. So the kid can play.
Boy for game player in a KHL preseason.
Yep. But Fedotov at this point, I'm pretty just indifferent to it, where, like you said, like we've talked about it for so long. There's so much, like, he said, she said between the NHL, the Flyers, and Russia. Like, it's like, all right, like, you're dealing with Russia here. Like, they're not going to play fair. They never have. Like, so it's like, yeah, I'm, you know, would I be surprised if he came over? Yes. Would I be surprised if he didn't come over? No. You know, it is what it is at this point. I'm not going to, like, hold out hope that he's going to be here. I feel like if he was, he would have been here already. But, you know, good to know you, Fedotov. Thanks for your service. No pun intended for the Russian army.
Navy, technically, I think.
I don't know. The dude was in, like, Siberia or something.
It was the Navy. Well, who knows?
It's just, again, like you said, I'm just kind of, like, indifferent, a little bit apathetic about it, where it's like, honestly, whatever happens, happens. So, we see him here, great. If not, you know, I don't think that's going to be the end of the world for the Flyers. They're already, you know, pretty bad. So, it's like, hey, if it makes us better, that's good. If he's not here and we're still, you know, the way we are, that's fine. I mean, you don't want a guy to come over and, you know, be like a thorn in your side when you're trying to rebuild a team. So You want that locker room to be, you know, 110% in and stuff like that. So if he comes over, like I said, if he comes over, great. If not, you know, that's fine too. So in the words of Forrest Gump, that's all I have to say about that.
Matt, do you know what they say about Russians?
What?
They get shot if they smile.
True.
For those who do not know the reference I just dropped, see the movie Miracle.
Yeah, it's just plain old American if you haven't seen that movie.
Can't confirm.
Other than that, Dave, I mean, our last topic of discussion tonight, Flyers-wise, well, I guess second to last because we have some fun-type stuff to talk about. On yesterday, as I say, the Flyers signed defenseman Oliver Bonk to a 3-year entry-level contract. Bonk was the 22nd overall selection in this past July's draft and did participate in the club's development camp. He's also the son of Radek Bonk, if you have heard of him. Obviously, everyone makes the jokes about Bonk go to Horny Jail with that dog.
R.I.P.
Yeah. So that meme is going to get completely bonked to death, I'm sure. But I think it's funny every time that you say it because, you know, the word bonk is just a funny word. Yes. So, but, no, I mean, this kid could be, you know, hopefully he's got a high ceiling here. He had 10 goals and 30 assists for 40 points in 67 games during the 2022-23 season with the London Knights of the OHL. He's currently weighing in at 180 pounds, standing at 6'2". He ranked fifth on his team in assists and eighth in points. He's a right-shot defenseman. He set career highs in goals, assists, points, power play goals, and shorthanded goals last season. And he also set a career-high eight-game point streak from October 29th to November 19th with 12 points, 2 goals, and 10 assists. He also set a career-high 3 assists at Guelph on March 15th. He also collected 11 assists in 21 playoff contests to help lead London to the OHL Finals. He also ranked fourth in the playoff points amongst OHL defensemen and appeared for 5 games for Canada in the 2022 Linka Gretzky Cup to help them win a gold medal. He's got a lot of good accolades. You know, I just read all those off. You know, he's a good player. Hopefully, you know, again, he can transfer that skill over to the NHL. He's got a 3-year contract to prove that. He probably won't be on the Flyers, you know, right out of the gate, but hopefully we do see him possibly towards the midseason. Maybe that's a little bit bold, but, you know, let the kids play too. So I'm not going to be mad. I'm not going to be mad if he's, you know, if he's on the squad. But if he's not, you know, let the kid marinate too.
So pretty much now by signing Bonk to this deal, the Flyers do have him under contract, obviously. And he's allowed to play in the OHL for the next 2 more seasons. So it's either the NHL or the OHL. There's no in between until he hits a certain age point. So I totally expect Oliver Bonk to play 2 more years after 2 more years in the OHL and then turn officially pro when his contract activates, and goes official. I like this deal. I'm glad Breer got it done. I'm not as high as Bonk as some others are. I think Bonk is an excellent prospect to have. I think his ceiling is a second pair defenseman. I don't think he's a number one type pairing guy. He's ideally at his height, he's a number three. If he reaches his ceiling, he's a number four. I don't think he's bad enough to be a 5 or a 6, but I don't think he's good enough to be a 1 or 2. So he's going to be in that middle pairing area. But I like his size. I like his, of course, right-handed defenseman. Who doesn't love those? Solid prospect. I'll be excited to watch him and see how he progresses. Maybe potentially getting more offensive-minded in the OHL and perhaps playing for Team Canada at the World Juniors next year. That's something that's big to watch and see where he progresses there. But all in all, it's a solid deal, a solid signing. And, you know, as of right now, even though I think he's only going to end up being a second pairing defenseman, he's still one of the Flyers' top prospects. So someone to definitely keep an eye on if you're a Philadelphia Flyers fan.
Yeah. But, you know, for now, we can just keep making the Bonk go to horny jail jokes whenever we see him. And, you know, we're going to Bonk all the way to the top. So,
I just realized the Flyers missed an opportunity with him. What? The picture they have on the Flyers.com website of him announcing his ELC signing, they gave him the jersey number 59 during rookie camp. Can you imagine the potential if they had given him 69 with his last name being Bonk? That just sort of that was too perfect, and they didn't do it. There was a potential for greatness there.
Yeah, that would probably break the internet, I think.
I wouldn't be surprised if someone makes a custom jersey with Bonk 69 on it.
Yeah, we better get some royalties for that we said it.
Yeah, put in our copyright claim now.
Stamp the trademark. Yep. But with that, Dave, again, we kind of are moving quickly here. Not a lot to talk about tonight. But we will go into some kind of around the league on NHL.com throughout the summer. They've been doing in-depth roster, prospect, and fantasy analyses for each of the 32 teams in the league. And today, when we are recording, just so happens to be the day that they profile the Flyers. So pat ourselves on the back for picking today to be a good day to do a podcast. And, you know, we're going to go through a little bit here about the NHL.com analysis of the Flyers from Adam Kimmelman. Just kind of some stuff, you know, that he thinks, I guess, has been plaguing the team, you know, where they've been, where they've come from, where they can go, what they need to do, all that type of stuff. There is another article that's like three questions facing the team as well, so we can go through those pretty quickly as well. So we'll just kind of, you know, run through those three questions, and then just, you know, we'll end it with a tribute to our boy Rick Jenneret, again, who did sadly pass away this weekend. But, you know, first of all, again, we'll go through this article. So
you would also mention, Matt, that Adam Kimmelman also gave his opinion on who he thinks are the Flyers' top five prospects.
Yes.
And so I would agree with the five that he provided. So all we can go over that list, those five as well.
That's why he writes for the NHL.
That's why they pay in the big bucks.
Exactly. Yes, I mean, just, you know, running through this a little bit. As we know, the Flyers are going into their next phase of their rebuild effort, hoping to see more of their younger players take larger roles. Kimmelman goes on to say, it's something that began last season as the Flyers faded from contention for a spot in the Stanley Cup playoffs. I'd say it began long before last season there, Adam. but anyway, continued with off-season departures of forwards Kevin Hayes and James Van Riemsdyk, as well as defenseman Ivan Provorov and Tony DeAngelo.
See ya.
General manager Danny Briere was quoted saying, we talked about making some openings for some of the young guys to play in and see what we have. I think we were able to create that and really see what we have for the future. Defensive-wise, that includes obviously Cam York potentially taking the ice, which was left open when Provorov, who averaged 23.01 in ice time, was traded to the Blue Jackets back on June 6th. York this past season had 20 points, averaging 19.39 of ice time in 54 games. He was a minus one in even strength goal differential, despite the Flyers as a team being a whole minus 18 after York was recalled from Lehigh Valley on December 8th. In other regards to some prospects here, from Kimmelman says, last season saw an uptick in responsibility from Owen Tippett, who scored 27 goals. Love the guy. Morgan Frost, who led the Flyers with 40. What's up?
Still unsigned, Morgan Frost.
True. He led the Flyers with 41 even strength points in 81 games. Oh, my God. The highest scoring player only had 41 points.
That was even strength points, so he's not including power play.
Still. And then 24-year-old Noah Cates, who emerged as a Flyers' top defensive center as well. Kimmelman also adds that the hope is that forward Joel Farabee can have that same sort of impact now that he's healthy. The 23-year-old had 39 points in 82 games, despite having artificial disc replacement surgery in his neck back on June 24th of 2022, which prevented him from working out ahead of last season. Daniel Briere, again, expects Farabee to have more production after a full offseason of training. Another big question is obviously Tyson Forrester, who had 7 points in his first eight NHL games, and was on a 5-game point streak when he was returned to the AHL on March 26th. Flyers president Keith Jones said, quote, I think he's going to develop into an outstanding player. His hockey sense is what impressed me the most in the short stint that he had last year with the big club. He has a level of hockey intelligence that's very high, and if you add that to his great shot and his willingness to do whatever it takes to play in the NHL, I think we're really going to benefit from, number one, the fact that he had a good, healthy year last year, the majority of it in the AHL, and number two, that he's an extremely motivated hockey player as well. A couple other big questions, obviously, are Cam Atkinson and Sean Couturier, both returning from, you know, full season of being injured and rehabbing and surgeries and all that jazz. We haven't seen them play in games since, I just lost my article. We haven't seen them play in games for, what, over a year?
Yes, since the end of the 21-22 season. Wait, no. Yeah, because they missed 22-23.
And then, obviously, we had the addition of defenseman Mark Stahl and then forward Garnet Hathaway signed during the offseason as, you know, just great veteran presence in the locker room, on the ice. So, I mean, you know, the Flyers, they did what they needed to do, so to speak, this year. Well, not this year, this offseason. But there are, you know, three questions that Adam also wrote these questions. But the first one, Dave, here, we'll just kind of go through these. You can give your thoughts on them as well. Can Sean Couturier and Cam Atkinson be depended on? The second one is, how will the defense shake out? And the third one is, can Tyson Forrester be a full-time NHL player? Dave, you know, based on those questions, if you want to kind of rank them maybe 1 through 3 in order of importance, or just kind of, you know, blanket statement, the three of them, the floor is yours, sir.
Let's just go through them in order here. what was his first question?
Can Sean Couturier and Cam Atkinson be depended on?
Well, you sure as hell hope they can. Sean Couturier is just starting year one of an 8-year contract extension that Chuck Fletcher and the organization gave him. So it really, really benefits the organization if that he can return to full-time hockey. I don't think he'll be the same player after missing a whole year with a back injury. But you need him to at least be a serviceable NHL center that you can put on the ice every night, because, man, if he re-injures his back and if that's his career, that's an albatross of a contract to have on LTIR for the next 8 years. Like, that's a really scary situation. Mm-hmm. And also the fact, I hope that doesn't happen for the sake of Sean Couturier as a human being. Not only has he been one of my favorite Flyers now for almost a decade, you know, just as a human being standpoint, you wish the guy can return to doing back, to returning, playing hockey and doing what he loves and playing for a city that he loves being, you know, a team of. And of course, Coots has worn a letter pretty much for the last 7 years with the Flyers. Maybe I'm being a little generous with that time frame there. Definitely at least the last 4 seasons he's worn a letter. Maybe he's a potential, if he returns full time and has a good voice in the locker room, he's a potential candidate for the captaincy, just because of how long he's been with the team and the fact that he's won a Selke trophy. So you definitely need him. And of course, then if you're rebuilding and he can return to playing at a certain level where he gets some value for him, if the Flyers do really suck and they find, and if they both, Couturier and the Flyers, agree, say, hey, you know what, this is, it's really in everyone's best interest that we move on from you. If he's injured, you can't move that deal. So if it does get to the point where he needs to get traded, you're hoping he's playing a good enough level where you can get some good pieces back for him. So it definitely behooves Couturier coming back and being a healthy force. Cam Atkinson, not as big of a deal with his contract, but he's another good locker room piece. He's going to be dependent on to score some big goals. He's also good defensively, great on the penalty kill. The Flyers definitely missed him last year in that regard, as well as they did with Coots. But no, Atkinson just as much. Again, he's an older player who, if he can return to being healthy and produce well, he's another valuable trade piece to potentially have in this rebuild. So both Couturier and Atkinson definitely need to come back, or else those are some two major problems for the Philadelphia Flyers and Danny Briere to have. Question number two, how does the defense shake out? That is a loaded question. Because right now, I mean, if you're looking at the defense, it's York, Sanheim, Ristolainen, Mark Stahl, Sean Walker, Ronnie Adderd, Igor Zamula. I mean, there's a lot of question marks there. Travis Sanheim. What's your top pair?
Sounds like Emil Andre might make the jump from the SHL too.
So actually, in fact, his SHL team in Sweden did essentially say him, congratulations, we wish you the best luck in North America. So if he doesn't make the Flyers, he will be on the Phantoms, which is good sounding there. Emil Andre couldn't in the mix, because he was, when I saw him last year play for the Phantoms, he was one of the better players out there on the ice.
I do have some personal news that I would like to share about Sweden. That's going to be the most humble brag thing ever.
Go ahead.
I did buy tickets to the Global Series game at Avicii Arena in Stockholm.
Not a wrong deal.
So I will be seeing the Ottawa Senators take on the Detroit Red Wings in Stockholm while I'm there on my trip. I'll see Giroux, hopefully, on the Senators.
Oh, there you go.
So, but yeah, I'll be flying to Sweden just to see an NHL game. But, you know, not a big deal.
Smuggle me in your briefcase. Let's go. All right. Going back to the Flyers defense, I like to say, because we're talking about Emil Andre in Sweden, so it works. Listeners, if you have a problem with that, deal with it.
Yep.
Talk to our complaint department.
Nope. It's relevant, as they say in the course.
Yeah, precisely. The only D pair I'm comfortable with having exist really next year is Sanheim and Ristolainen, because we know they already work well together as a D pairing. And I like them personally as a D pairing. Ideally, you would like to see how Cam York responds to number 1 minutes. I think there's potential for him to become a number one defenseman. But who do you stick with him? I mean, I feel like the only real option is Ristolainen. But then when you take Ristolainen off the pairing with Sanheim, who do you put with Sanheim on the second pair? Sean Walker? Mm. And your third pair is Mark Stahl. I also forgot Nick Seeler. I mean, do you do a third pairing of Mark Stahl and Nick Seeler? Does Ronnie Adderd make the team? Does Emil Andre make the team? I mean, there's a lot of questions, and it's also become a very young defense out of nowhere.
There's questions within the question.
Precisely. We're just like the Riddler. The Flyers defense is like the Riddler right now. Mm-hmm. I really don't know how it's going to shake out. It's going to be a very interesting training camp and preseason to see who makes the team and roster.
Yeah.
I feel like, I mean, I can't even off the top of my head come up with ideal pairings unless I'd have to really sit down and look at numbers and see how things gel out and work out, because I don't know. And it's weird of me to not, like, the Flyers offense, I can vary. If you give me the Flyers list of potential forwards for next year, I can give you 4 NHL lines and go, these would make sense to me. But this defense being so young and almost so unproven, I don't know what the hell to do with it. I don't think you've ever seen me this stumped on the podcast before, Matt. This might Adam's be a first time job. Ever.
Yeah.
I mean, do you have any ideas on what you would do with the Flyers defense?
Honestly, it's late August. The least of my concerns right now is what the defensive pairs for this team are going to look like, because honestly, they're going to get ripped. I'm not saying they're going to get ripped apart by the opponents more so, but they're going to get ripped apart by the fans. Not the fans. The Flyers Twitter is going to be like, because we saw like Travis Sanheim being the whipping boy. We've seen Ristolainen being the whipping boy. I mean, you know, I feel like this is going to be a little bit of a tangent, but who are you going to make the whipping boy on an entire team of mostly entire team of prospects, and you know that your team is rebuilding? So your team is like not purposely bad, but your team is bad for a purpose, if that makes sense.
It'd be in my book, it's going to be Sanheim, Seeler, or Mark Stahl.
Yeah.
I think they're the only or Sean Walker, since he's like a newcomer. You can't.
There should be no one on this team that is getting villainized, because there's no way in hell. And if there is, if the Flyers somehow win the Stanley Cup this upcoming season, I'll get a tattoo. I don't have any tattoos, but I also hate.
You'll get a Flyers Stanley Cup championship tattoo.
Yeah. So. Which, I mean, hell, maybe I would do that in
just because.
Just because, yeah. Like, my first ever tattoo is when the Flyers, you know, finally win the Stanley Cup in my lifetime. Like, that'd be great.
You'll be 85 and walking into a Walker. I want a tattoo, Shani.
I'll bleed out on the table because I'm so old and, like, didn't drink my prune juice or something. but, yeah, I mean, it's just, like, that's the one thing, I don't know. Like, as it gets closer and closer to the season, obviously, we have expectations for this team, but the expectation is that they're finally in a rebuild, and the expectation for a rebuild is that your team is not going to be in the playoffs. Your team is probably not going to win more than 27 games, maybe, and that's maybe shooting high, but it's like, you know, obviously, you know, expectations are high for Philly sports teams, but The Flyers are trying to get back into the good graces of this city, and they've done a good job this offseason, but people can't turn around and kind of stab them in the back and be like, oh, why are you so bad? We thought you guys are rebuilding, blah, blah. And it's like, a rebuild doesn't take 3 months. If it did, that'd be amazing, because then I'd be like, hell yeah, yeah. Flyers rebuilt in the offseason. We're going to win the cup. But, you know, rebuilds don't take 3 months. They don't take a year. They don't take 2 years. They don't take three. I mean,
they can sometimes ideally they take between 3 to 5.
Yes.
Unless you're the Buffalo Sabres.
Yes. Unless you're also the Flyers, because we've been 3 to 5 years of being 3 to 5 years away for the past 10 years. The math doesn't add up there. So,
well, the Flyers officially weren't trying to rebuild during the Ron Hextall or Chuck Fletcher years. The Comcast and Xfinity, just Comcast, was trying to still be a contender when they shouldn't have been.
Yeah. But anyway, that's my tangent about fans. I don't know how the defense is going to shake out. Honestly, put whatever pairing you want out there. They'll probably have a rotating door type situation where they'll have an extra seventh man or one less forward. Something like that. I'm hiccuping, sorry.
Nick Seeler back on offense again like he was at one point last year.
The dude had a highlight reel goal.
He did.
Hey, don't underestimate Nick Seeler.
You could put a line out there of Nick Seeler with Garnet Hathaway and Nick DeLorie as a fourth line, and I tell you what, that's a bruiser.
Yeah, but as I said, I'm not going to lose any sort of sleep over the fact that I don't know what the Flyers' defensive pairs are going to look like.
Yeah, neither am I.
I'm not as invested in that right now.
Was the third and final question?
The third question was, can Tyson Forster become a full-time NHL player?
Yes, and he will. And you can quote me on that.
Dude's got a rocket.
It's 9:08 p.m. as we're recording on August 22nd of the year 2023. Tyson Forster will become a full-time NHL top 6-4 next season, and he will prove that he belongs and he will never see the minor leagues ever again. Book it. I think he could even be a finalist for the Calder Trophy next year.
Ooh.
I think I could easily see him scoring 20+, maybe even 30 goals. With how he performed last year in his short stint and with how good of his shot is, easily 20, 25 goals. That's my expectation for Tyson Forster going into the year. And maybe putting up 50, 60 points. I think that's reasonable. Maybe I'm holding him too high, but based off what I've seen from him with the Phantoms, with the Flyers last year, I think that's achievable. Mm-hmm. If I'm wrong, I'll eat it. I'll take it. But right now, book it. I think Tyson Forster will be a finalist for the Calder Memorial Trophy as Rookie of the Year for the National Hockey League in the 2023-2024 NHL season.
I like it. That was the third final question, Dave. That'll wrap it up for our Flyers coverage this week.
Real quick.
Sorry.
The Flyers' top five prospects. We don't need to dive in depth individually into each five players because we've already talked about all these players tonight on this podcast already. So I feel like everyone kind of knows our thoughts on them. But according to Adam Kimmelman Mastro, here are his top five Flyers prospects. Number one, Matei Michkov, no-brainer. Number two, Cutter Gauthier, also no-brainer. Number three, Tyson Forster. You got me there. Now, this is where I would switch players. He has Oliver Bonk ranked fourth and Emil Andre ranked five. I would switch Andre to four and put Bonk down at five. I think Emil Andre has a much higher upside, and I think Emil Andre right now, the way he played for the Phantoms and the way he played over in Sweden, he reminds me a lot like Kimmo Timonen. And I think he could become that very solid number two, number three defenseman who's excellent on the power play, but a great just overall two-way defenseman. And I personally have Andre higher in my rankings than I do Oliver Bonk. But Bonk's at four and Andre's at five per Adam Kimmelman. And that's the only place I disagree with him.
I mean, all these guys hopefully, you know, have very high ceilings. That's my only hope for them, is the highest ceiling possible. And, you know, that's kind of all I have at this point. But, you know, we've talked about all of them to some degree over the past few weeks and few months. But, you know, that's something to look forward to with these guys in the pipeline for the Flyers. It's, you know, part of that glimmer of hope that we have coming back to this organization. And if these guys can pan out the way that they're projected to be, then it's going to be a hell of a ride, you know.
Yeah,
once they do, you know, come into their own.
I know the NHL Network ranked the Flyers as having the 9th best prospect pool in the NHL currently, and also in the top 10 NHL prospects, the Flyers had two players on that list, being Cutter Gauthier and Matei Michkov. So there are bright pieces to look forward to. And I know we said this years ago under Ron Hextall, but I feel like this is different.
It's a new era of orange.
It's well done. well done, sir.
Thanks. We should get some
call the Flyers now. The Flyers, you see that level? The Flyers listen to this podcast, see that segue? He just fit your new slogan right in there.
Oh, yeah, like a puzzle piece. Now that is it for our Flyers coverage for this week. And then to end things tonight, we do have a very somber and sad occasion to discuss, as it was announced on this past Thursday, the 18th. Longtime voice of the Buffalo Sabres for 5 decades. Rick Jeanneret passed away at the age of 81. I believe it was due to multiple organs. The 18th was Friday. He died Thursday night, it says.
Yes.
The 18th was Friday. You're right.
No, it's all good.
But
looking back at it, doesn't really matter.
Yeah, I believe he was in an ongoing battle with, I think it was just like, he had multiple organ failures, which is really sad to see. Just a few statements here from Buffalo Sabres general manager Kevin Adams. Quote, growing up in Buffalo, Rick Jeanneret was not just the voice of the Sabres, he was the voice for our city. He helped foster my love of hockey, along with so many others. Beyond the booth, Rick was an incredible man that was loved by all. His wit and humor was unmatched, and we are all lucky to have known him. I'm heartbroken by his passing and send my condolences to his wife, Sandra, and all of his family and friends. May he rest in peace. According to NHL.com, known simply as RJ, he called his first Sabres game on the radio on October 10th of 1971, then moved to the TV side in 1995. He retired as the longest tenured play-by-play announcer in NHL history when he called his final game on April 29th of 2022 and was inducted into the Hockey Hall of Fame as the recipient of the Foster Hewitt Award in 2012. He's also a member of the Sabres Hall of Fame, the Greater Buffalo Sports Hall of Fame, the Buffalo Broadcasters Hall of Fame, and the Township of Terrace Bay, Ontario's Sports Wall of Fame. The NHL released a statement the other day saying, quote, his unmistakable voice was the signature sound of Buffalo Sabres hockey for half a century. He brought the essence of our game into the homes of Western New Yorkers with passion and excitement and a remarkable flair for capturing the moment. The NHL is saddened by his passing and sends its condolences to his wife, Sandra, the entire Jeanneret family, and the countless Sabre fans who loved the game was enhanced by listening to this legendary broadcaster. If you didn't know, I mean, he's had a handful of just, you know, absolutely legendary calls, a lot of legendary calls, but I think most notably you have the May Day call with Brad May's goal. Mm-hmm. You have Scary Good. I forget. I think that was Halloween. You have Top Shelf Where Mama Hides the Cookies. You have I was watching videos the other day to kind of, you know, just look back on some stuff that he called. But I remember he had the wounded duck from the point shot. I think it was at Thanksgiving. That was near Thanksgiving.
Shields wants snow.
Yes. Yep. Shields versus Garth Snow. You know, the Flyers obviously were involved with that one. You have the you have two of the iconic Pat LaFontaine ones. You have the one from the Christmas where it's fa la 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 Fontaine, and then you have the one where it's like la 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 Fontaine. So I mean, you have some great calls from this guy, you know, timeless calls that you can always just go to YouTube and watch, and just it gets the blood pumping, honestly. Like, it's just it's electric. And to have a guy like that in the league for so long is just, you know, it's great for the game. It's great for, you know, memories. It's and they'll live on forever, obviously, you know, with everything being digital now. So it's, you know, his memory is going to live on forever. He's obviously enshrined in multiple different, you know, Hall of Fames for hockey, for, you know, the city of Buffalo, all that type of stuff. His rafter is hanging in, I believe it's the Key Bank Center. Yeah, Key Bank Center. But, you know, just a timeless voice for the NHL, a timeless voice for the Sabres, and a timeless voice for the sport of hockey. And, you know, he'll be greatly missed. But, you know, he's up there calling games now for, you know, a hell of a team that's up in heaven now.
Yeah. I mean, RJ was one of the big pieces that helped me get back into the sport of hockey when I was younger in my young, like, pre-teen years and teenage years before I fell back in love with the Flyers. When they were kind of not doing so great, the Buffalo Sabres were, like, really good. So I started to pay attention to them and started watching their games. And, of course, through the various ways of the interwebs, I would find Buffalo's regional sports broadcasts to watch instead of the national ones. And just RJ's play calling is, I mean, he was one of the best. Reason why he's in the Hockey Hall of Fame, why he's got his name retired, the Key Bank Center. I mean, just some of the bigger calls. He helped me discover one of my favorite hockey players of all time, and Danny Briere. I mean, watching some of those goals, some of his calls for Danny Briere. And of course, the Buffalo Sabres in that one year when they probably should have won the President's Trophy and won the Cup the year the Ducks won it, where they lost to Ottawa in the Eastern Conference Final. I mean, in that second round series they had against the Rangers, they're down 1-0 with like a minute left. Chris Drury scores a tying goal, and Chris Drury, who else? These guys are good, scary good. Now do you believe? I mean, I'm getting goosebumps just repeating the call. And then, of course, Maxim Afinaganov wins in overtime, and he just Maxim Afinaganov. And then he wins it in overtime. That was his thing, overtime.
Yeah.
And just he found a way to make every single call just perfect. And even when Hasek or Ryan Miller would make an incredible save, like, roll the highlight film. Like, he just... So many excellent calls and great memories. And it's definitely a sad period of hockey for hockey fans, and especially Buffalo Sabres fans and Buffalo and the city of Buffalo and Rick Jannerhead's family. But I think I hold RJ up there with the likes of Doc Emrick, who's still with us, and even JJ. I mean, they're my top three play-by-play guys ever. And when the day comes where we're without Doc in this world will be sad, and the day where JJ eventually retires and he moves on will also be sad. But Rick Jannerett got it right, and he knew what to do, and he had it for every single moment. And I think it was very fitting that in his last game that he called back in 2022, the Buffalo Sabres won in overtime.
Yep.
The perfect ending to a perfect career, and he will be missed, and we definitely pass on our condolences.
Yeah, very well said, Dave. You know, RJ, you will be missed, as they called you. The hockey world is a little less bright as we lose another, you know, towering figure in the broadcast booth. But, you know, again, he's got some great company up there with him now. And again, he's probably calling pickup games up in the heavens at this point. But, you know, we wish his family all the best, and, you know, we wish the Sabres organization all the best as well. And, you know, we apologize to the listeners that we have to end on a sad and somber note, but, you know, we have to pay our respects to, again, a legend of the hockey world. And, you know, it's a good way to go out for the week.
Yeah, definitely. And we will be back, of course, after the Labor Day holiday. And I know our routine of taking extended breaks in between podcasts will be coming to an end soon, since we're already mentioning Labor Day happening. So be patient, listeners. We will be back to weekly podcasts, I would probably say, in about a month, which is crazy to say out loud, because I, again, yeah, feel like the summer just started, and we're slowly closing down, and it's becoming fall. So with it, everyone, enjoy your week. If any more big hockey news comes out pertaining to the Flyers, we'll throw it on our social media pages, mainly Twitter and Facebook.
Yeah.
Other than that, everyone, enjoy your time off, and we'll be back after the Labor Day holiday. Good night and good hockey.